Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaskans have just 4 more days to declare candidacy for local office, and races in the statewide election are heating up as well. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 13th, 2018. With the deadline looming, only one Unalaskan has filed to run for local office this fall. City Councilor Alejandro Bongtungal has declared that he'll run for re-election at seat F. But as of this morning, Deputy City Clerk Roxana Winters says no one has declared candidacy for City Council seat G, currently held by Sherry Coleman, or School Board seat A, currently held by Tammy Fowler Pound. All of these seats come with 3-year terms, and prospective candidates must file at City Hall by this Thursday, August 16th. The local election is October 2nd. Meanwhile, absentee voting is underway for the state's primary election. It'll decide who appears on the final ballot for governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. representative, as well as a slew of positions in the legislature. During the primary, the state provides 2 different ballots, and voters' eligibility for either one is determined by the party affiliation on their voter registration records. Unalaskans have until next Monday, August 20th, to cast their absentee ballots at City Hall. Regular primary voting is set for Tuesday, the 21st. You can find a sample ballot online at elections.alaska.gov. When that primary is over, Alaskans will likely see a 3-way race for governor in November's general election, but one prominent Democrat has an idea that could shake things up. As Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchiman reports, the idea would have either Governor Bill Walker or former U.S. Senator Mark Begich drop out of the race.
4 years ago, independent candidate Bill Walker joined forces with Democrat Byron Mallott, shrinking a 3-way race down to 2 major candidates. Walker then defeated incumbent Sean Parnell. Hollis French dropped out as Mallott's running mate to allow that to happen. Now French has a new proposal.
Well, I think there's a lot of what I would call anxiety in the center and the left of the political spectrum in Alaska.
To eliminate that anxiety, French wants Walker and Begich to agree that one of the 2 candidates could drop out. That decision would be based on a measurement of which one is the stronger candidate. French says the candidates could decide how to do that, but he says if 3 different polls find that one candidate is polling worse than the other, the lower polling candidate would commit to dropping out.
You know, I got a yes from Mark Begich, and I guess I would characterize it as a no from the Walker campaign.
Under French's proposal, both candidates would stay in the race if the polling was mixed. French supports Begich, but he said he'd vote for Walker if it was between Walker and either of the leading Republican candidates, Mike Dunleavy and Mead Treadwell. Begich says it took a couple of days to think about the idea.
You know, I don't want people to get the misunderstanding that I don't believe I can win. I believe I'm going to be, you know, in a 3-way race. I have a great shot of winning it straight out. And I want to make that very clear to Hollis. But I was happy for the greater good to consider the idea that he laid on the table.
Begich says he hoped Walker would agree to the proposal.
I was hoping that he would consider it, but it's a determination he needs to make, just as he decided not to run in the Democratic primary after committing to it. He decided to switch and create the 3-way race, which I think is what's caused a lot of the dilemma here.
Begich says he decided to run after concluding that he could win either a 2-way race or a 3-way race. But he also says he was concerned about Walker's ability to win a 2-way race. The AFL-CIO commissioned a poll in late June. It found Dunleavy would win a 3-way race, with Walker and Begich tied for second. but that both Walker and Bagich were ahead of Dunleavy in a two-way race. Walker campaign manager John Henry Heckendorn says the governor will convince Alaskans that he's made necessary decisions.
First, I want to be absolutely clear. Mark Bagich knew that if he got into the race, Bill Walker was going to run against him in the general, not in the Democratic primary. Walker was interested in a race for who had the strongest vision for Alaska's future, not a competition for who was the best Democrat between him and Mark Bagich. And Mark Bagich knew that.
Heckendorn says Walker wasn't the candidate who created the three-way race.
The governor filed in August of last year. Mark Bagich filed a half hour before the filing deadline. He absolutely had control over whether or not to put Alaskans in that position.
September 4th is the deadline for candidates to remove their names from the general election ballot. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
While voters wait to see how the governor's race shapes up, there are currently seven candidates vying for lieutenant governor. We'll bring you an update on that race during tomorrow's newscast. But the November ballot will include more than those leadership positions. It'll include the controversial Yes for Salmon initiative, which is aimed at ramping up protections for salmon habitat and is fiercely opposed by industry throughout the state. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled last week that only certain provisions of the ballot initiative are unconstitutional. Whether the rest becomes state law is now up to the voters. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Harbaugh has the details.
The Alaska Supreme Court's decision guarantees a big fish fight ahead. The court ruled that only two parts of the initiative are unconstitutional because they explicitly bar the state from giving some projects a permit. That goes against a section of Alaska's constitution, which says ballot initiatives can't prioritize one state resource, here fish, over others like mines and oil developments. So the court is ordering that those two provisions must be cut out. But the rest of the Yes for Salmon initiative is good to go. Stand for Salmon director Ryan Scriver is organizing the Yes for Salmon campaign, and he's satisfied with the outcome.
We're a little bit bummed that the Supreme Court removed a couple of provisions of the initiative, but they have left intact the heart and soul of what we were trying to do.
Lawyers for the state, who challenged Yes for Salmon in court, are also counting this as a win. That's because they weren't arguing whether the ballot initiative is a good idea or not. They just said it violated a specific part of the Alaska Constitution. Now that the Supreme Court took out the unconstitutional parts, the state's narrow legal challenge ends. Libby Bacalar is an assistant attorney general for the state and helped argue the case.
Our role as the attorneys for the Division of Elections and the Lieutenant Governor's Office is to ensure that no measure that violates Article 11, Section 7 reaches the ballot. And so we succeeded in upholding that mission today.
Yes for Salmon's opponents say the decision doesn't change how they feel about the initiative.
The ballot measure still is just as concerning to our group and our 400-plus coalition members as it was yesterday.
Katie Capozzi is the campaign manager for Stand for Alaska, a group formed to fight the initiative. Stand for Alaska is backed by the state's biggest oil, gas, and mining companies, as well as Alaska Native corporations, trade unions, and other groups. Capozzi argues even in its new form, Yes for Salmon will still have wide-reaching impacts.
We plan to march forward. We plan to still continue informing Alaskans on the negative impacts this ballot measure will have on their lives. And we're still going to encourage Alaskans to vote no on November 6th.
Stand for Alaska will be marching forward with a lot of money behind it. Recent filings with the state show the group has raised more than $9 million over the entire campaign, and that includes staff time, with big donations from companies like BP and the Pebble Limited Partnership. Yes for Salmon reports raising significantly less, just under $1 million for the entire campaign. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
As election season progresses, KUCB will continue to bring you coverage of the local, state, and national races that matter to Unalaska. Join us for our ongoing reporting here on 89.7 FM. The Unalaska Public Library is hosting two meetings tonight, one on regional involvement in the Arctic Council and another on local fisheries. Up first at 5 o'clock is the Aleut International Association, a nonprofit run by Russian and Alaskan Ananga that focuses on environmental and cultural concerns. The organization is holding a public talk about its ongoing projects and participation in the Arctic Council. After that, the Unalaska Native Fishermen's Association is gathering to discuss fisheries issues, including cod bee season and local salmon runs. The UNFA meeting starts at 6 o'clock at the library. And with all scorecards finally in and tabulated, this summer's Tundra Golf Classic has ended in a tie. Both the Mattson and North Pacific Fuel teams finished the tournament earlier this month with scores of 57, claiming a shared championship after edging out the Babymakers by just 4 strokes. The winners will split ownership of the trophy, taking it for 6 months each. Beyond the 18-hole competition, Tundra Golf included a handful of other contests. Mike Hansen posted the longest drive with a marshmallow at 168 feet. Albert Magalong won the accuracy contest by putting his first shot within 10 feet and 6 inches of hole number one. And Golfers Against Sanity took home the Team Spirit Award for their clever costumes riffing on the game Cards Against Humanity. The rare hot weather brought out a record 20 teams to the Tundra Golf Classic, which raised more than $11,000 for Unalaska Community Broadcasting. The fundraiser earnings will go toward TV and radio operations at your local public media station. So from all of us at KUCB, thank you for your support, and thank you for a great weekend of Tundra Golf. You can check out photos and videos from this year's tournament on our Facebook page. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.